Let's open our Bibles and we'll go to John 14, and we're going to look at a number of things here. And very encouraging scripture, and I thought this very fitting, and I had it in my mind before I did last week's message. Last week presented John chapter 13, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We looked at his model of servant leadership, and here, this is also on the night of Jesus' betrayal. So you think about what Christ did with his last life before he, before he died upon the cross, before he would go to be with the Father until his resurrection. And what took place? And as I think about in the shadow of his cross, you know, you think about that. What would you do with your last day or last night? And here, Christ spends his time with his apostles, with his disciples. He shows them, again, what it means to be a leader. He gives them instructions to the very end, even correction, warning them about things that are going to happen and who's going to betray him and who's going to go astray and who's going to deny him as he gives those words. He also, from John 14 to John 16, you have this long text of scripture there. And there, Jesus is teaching and preparing his disciples for what is about to come, that they don't fully understand, that they can't fully have wrapped their mind around. And then John 17, he concludes with a very beautiful prayer of encouragement. This morning, I want to focus on John 14, and that's what we're going to go to in a moment. Before we do that, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you're gracious to us, and you've blessed us this day that we as Christians can gather together on the first day of the week, remembering the great sacrifice of your Son who came in this world and who died and was buried and rose again. Father, we ask you that you bless our hearts right now to be filled with your word, that our minds be concentrated upon the truth, to listen to Jesus, to his voice, to his teachings, that we will put our faith completely in him and trust him in what he says. Father, help us now that we take these words. May they be an encouragement to us. Lift up our spirits and help us this week and throughout the rest of our life. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. John 14, many of us probably quote a lot of this in John 14. And specifically, I want to start in John 14, 1 through 7. I didn't give my exposition or my main reading this morning to one of our scripture readings. I wanted to save it specifically for us to draw out from it. But as was read there at the end of John chapter 16, Bill just read for us, it says, Christ has overcome the world, and he has. He has overcome the powers of the world. You think about the authorities, and you think about those you might go through for peace or comfort through difficult times. I don't think about politicians. I don't think about government authorities. I don't want to go to them. I don't feel any comfort from them. And yet we read this in Scripture. It says in Colossians 2 and verse 15, Paul says that Christ, having died and done what he has accomplished through his death and resurrection, that he has disarmed the principalities and powers. You know, whether in heaven or on earth, he has conquered over them. He has the authority over them. He has the final judgment over them. He has died a death and he's rose again. He has conquered death. And it doesn't matter how much power that you have in this world, you can't keep yourself from dying. You can't keep yourself from sickness and death. You can't keep yourself from a number of things that you know, we come across daily. And a lot of people think, well, if I just had money and I had this and I had power and influence, I'd get rid of a lot of those things. But in the end, that power is not going to save you, and that money is not going to help you. And so when I read here, Christ has disarmed the principalities and powers. He's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He has conquered all things. And so who do I go to for comfort and peace? I go to Christ. I go to the one who provides and gives life. So what comfort do Christians get from the words of Jesus? And I think about this because Jesus' disciples are beginning to know something is about to happen there on the night of his betrayal. They see the things that are happening. They see Jesus preparing them and giving them a specific instruction. And I want you to listen to what Christ says right here in John 14, verses 1 through 7. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I just love that right there. Let not your heart be troubled. And just to hear that from Christ already gives me comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he's giving instructions. These are his apostles, and there's 11 with him. One is gone, who's going to betray him. Judas has left already. And so as Jesus is teaching them, he's, don't be troubled, but I want you to do this. Believe in me. This tells me a lot. Specifically, that my faith in Christ, my faith in God, helps me to not be troubled, to have peace in difficult times. I think we would all say that. Those of us who have matured in our faith, as we trust in God and we believe in Him, Christ says, believe also in me. Don't lose faith in me. Look at verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And the Greek word there means there's many dwelling places there in my Father's house. As he's talking about that place that is prepared and that Christ is going to prepare, he says, if it were not so, I would not have told you. In other words, trust me, believe me. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. There's the comfort. There's the peace that I have. When Christ says, you believe in the Father, believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Know this, that I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That's amazing to hear those words from him, his promises. Look at verse 3. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. All right? So they're hearing this, and already some of them are thinking, wait a minute, where are you going? What do you mean, Jesus, that you're going away? The picture there, the Jewish mentality is the Messiah has come, and what's the Messiah going to do? He's going to receive an eternal kingdom, and he's never going to die. He's going to live on. He's the one that we read about in Daniel chapter 7, who will come in the clouds to the Ancient of Days, and God will give him an eternal kingdom. And if he has an eternal kingdom, then he must be the eternal king. And so that's the thinking at this time. And so when Christ is saying, I'm going to go away, they're thinking here, probably not thinking that he's going to die, but they're thinking he might do something like Enoch did or Elijah did and ascend into heaven and to be with God. And so that's something they're expecting. That's what I would be expecting of Christ. If I were one of his disciples, I would expect that. I'd be like, this is the Messiah. This, look at all the great miracles he's done, the wonderful things that he's done. And now he's saying he's going away to prepare a place for us. That sounds great. He says, I'm going to this place and you know of it. And listen to what Thomas says in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And so his thinking is, wait a minute, you're going away to the Father to prepare this place. How do we know that way? How are we going to get there? And that's, you know, I think that's a good question. Jesus says to him, what's he saying? You know this verse. John 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You want to know the way? You want to know the place that I'm preparing for you, the way to get there? It's through me. It's only through Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the path that you walk. I'm the road that you travel by. I'm the truth, and that means he is the reality. I'm the life. I'm the only way you're going to have everlasting life and the hope of the resurrection to come at the end, which they did expect. And so this is how you come to the Father. Look at verse 7. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and I've seen him. You see what Jesus is saying there? He says, if you know me and you've seen me, then you've seen God the Father. That's encouraging. I think a lot of people today, they open their Bible and they look there and they start to put a verse over here. And maybe they look on the internet and they get these weird ideas about God and maybe a very negative picture of God. Or maybe they get the picture of God as a white-bearded man that sits in the clouds or something like that. And there's all these different ideas that people often come up with that are not biblical and they're not from what the Bible says. You know how we can know that we see God and that we know Him? And I love this because He came in the flesh, because Christ came. And as I listen to the words of Jesus here, He says, again, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Believe in me. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And now you see God in Christ. I thank God for that. That's an amazing thing to think of, that I can know who God is because of Jesus Christ. What draws people to the Christian faith? What draws us to our belief in God? We look at Jesus. We read about His words. We go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the things that He did. And we look at His works, and we believe in Him, and we trust in Him. And when He talks about the book that He trusts in the Bible, I trust Him. When He tells us He's going to prepare a place for us, I believe Him. And I can go down the list of the things that Christ teaches us. And every single thing He teaches, every one of His words, it helps me, it comforts me. And I would encourage every one of us this morning, when you're through going through tough times, draw near to God, seek Him out. He'll give you peace in your heart. Christ gives us comfort. He gives us peace. You know, the world, as the world and the culture looks for peace, they look for it in different ways, don't they? I'm just going to put it out of my mind, or they tell themselves maybe different stories, or they talk to certain friends or family, and they can put things off for a little while, but there's no way you can have ultimate peace about this life. What meaning and purpose that you have, or why you're here in the first place without God? Or what's going to happen to me when I die without Christ? I need Him. I need His teachings. And so the gospel is Jesus, God has made this amazing creation. He's created all things. Man has sinned. And in our fallen state, God has sent us a Savior to redeem us and bring us back in close relationship with Him. And God promises us that just as Christ rose from the dead, we will too on the last day. We will rise like Christ on the last day. And those things are meant to give us comfort, to encourage us. So, as I read and I look at Christ, I hope that He is a constant comfort and peace to you and to your heart. I think about the things that Jesus said as throughout His ministry. Remember, He said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. I believe Him. And in hard times, who else can you turn to? Where else are you going to go? And so, the disciples here, these apostles, they don't know what's coming, not fully. But Jesus gives them everything that they need. He prepares them. I want to go back to the text and keep reading here, reading about how we see God the Father in Christ, how we get an accurate picture of who God really is when we know who Jesus is. And let me add to that before I read that. If I want to have a life that is comfort, that is stable, where I can say, like David says, that God is my rock and He is my refuge and He is my fort, then that means that I need to know Him. How am I going to know more about God? How am I going to know more about Christ? I need to be around other Christians who will encourage me in this, to pray with me, who will help me to study the Scriptures. I need to listen to them. And if, you know, if even in long travels, you can listen to the Scripture being read. There's a lot of things that we can do to fill our lives with that truth and bring about that peace and comfort and make sure that God is our rock. Look at verses 8 and following here, 8 through 11. Now, we got Thomas, he spoke up. Now Philip says something. Philip said to Jesus, he says, "Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us." Just show us God the Father. That's an interesting statement. I've had atheists say that to me. So show me God. It's like, that's like, how do you show the Creator of all the universe who created all things? The only way I know is to point to Christ. And that's what Jesus does right here. To see God, here He is. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" In other words, don't you know that I'm with the Father and the Father is with me? Or I'm beside the Father and the Father is beside me? That's the use of the word "in" there. That's a preposition in Greek. I am with God and He is with me. And then Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." In other words, God the Father is working through Christ to do these works and to say these amazing words and give these great teachings. And why is Jesus again saying this to His apostles? So their hearts won't be troubled. So that their hearts will be filled with faith. And then listen to what Christ says in verse 11. He says, "Believe in me, and I in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, this makes me think about what Jesus said earlier on in his ministry in John chapter 10. When those who didn't believe him, he said, listen, you don't believe my words, you don't believe who I say I am, that I am the I am, that I am the Christ, then believe my works. You see the miracles, you see the great things that I'm doing, believe the works. And Christ has often taught that. He said those works bear witness about him. They bear witness of who he is. And when I recognize who Christ is and I look at the great things he does and I'm filling my life with his words and I'm reflecting upon who he is every day, you know what I have? I have a heart that has peace. I have comfort. Those troubles are put away. Christ gives the perfect teaching here, the words of comfort for his apostles. Now look with me in verses 12 through 14. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. You believe in me, you believe in these works that I've done, you're going to do them too. Now, specifically, he's talking to the apostles. Of course, we carry on the model of Christ and his example of doing good deeds. But as far as miracles, the apostles did that. And the Bible says that the apostles did these miracles. The miracles that they did after Christ was again to confirm that their word comes from God. And then listen to what Christ says. He says this to his apostles. He says, greater works than these he will do. Greater works than Christ? He says, you're going to do greater works than these because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we have the confidence that the Bible says that we ask all things in the name of Christ. We pray in the name of Christ. And we look at the example and the teachings of Jesus here. How comforting is it that here Christ, who's done amazing things, is telling his apostles, who are to train others, who are to build up the church, that you're going to do greater things. You're going to do amazing things. That's great encouragement, especially in When I think about these apostles and what is before them and what they're facing. Now, I want to finish our reading and our exposition a little bit further. I know it's a lot of reading at the beginning this morning, but I'm glad that you stuck with me. Let's go to John 14, still there, and look in verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. The readings we've had this morning from John 16, those two different readings that Garland did and Phil did, again, were tied into the peace of God, the comfort that comes from Christ, knowing him and drawing near to him. And Richard didn't know I was preaching on this morning, but his songs are so fitting to the message that we draw near to him. So let's continue to look at this. John 14, look in verses 15 and following. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I did a sermon earlier this year. All on this, about 2 months ago now. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's true. You love Christ. You believe in God. You know that he knows the right way. You know all of his commands are the best thing for you. You trust completely in him. You're going to keep his commandments. Look at verse 16. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. And so Christ is saying, even though I'm going away, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. And he says, I'm going to send you a helper that he may abide with you forever. This helper is going to come and he's going to be with you into the ages. Verse 17, he tells us about the helper, the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is going to be sent upon his apostles. And even today, as we become Christians, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit strengthens us, our hearts from within. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So the Spirit of truth, he says, is the helper, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, but will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so Christ here telling them, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And even then, after he's saying that, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and indwells among those in his church, we have hope and encouragement here is that he says, I'm going to come to you again. And that's what we read from the very beginning. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again. Are you ready for Christ to come again? I hope that we are. I hope that we take peace and comfort in that. People follow what they love. You think about the things that motivate us and those who don't want to think about God and Christ, there are certain things that they love that they will pursue. And, you know, if it's a certain sport, if it's a certain work, if it's money, whatever it might be, those who love it or the desire or they covet it, they will essentially almost worship it going after it. And so, as we're told right here, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Do you pursue Christ? Is he number one in your life and your priority in life? If he's not, then I think a lot of the comfort in these words will be amiss for you. You won't have the peace that he promises. Christ gives us comfort in this life and he gives it in death. But I want you to listen and think about this. What does the world look for? For the world says, like in 1 Corinthians 15, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. And the mentality in the Greco-Roman world was either you die and you go to Elysium or you die and that's it. You just don't exist anymore. That was the thinking back then. And so some of the thinking was, let's just eat and drink and tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter. They weren't mindful about God. They weren't thinking about him. They weren't relying upon him. He wasn't any source of comfort and peace to them. And yet the Bible tells us this is foolishness. Some believe again today in a fool's hope. They trust in their own hearts. They'll trust in their own selves. They look within rather than looking to God. Or they look to the forces of the universe and as another God. Others, when they're not doing that, they just want, they look at life and they want vanity. They want emptiness. They want meaningless to life because then, well, it gives them permission to follow what they want. I want you to listen to some words here. And I hope that our hearts are centered and focused on Christ rather than other things. And here are some passages in regards to our hearts. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the prophet Jeremiah gives us a warning. And there's more to it. You can go there and read. That's worth a whole other sermon. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who knows it? In other words, don't go looking in your heart. Go looking to Christ. The only time you look in your heart is if Christ is there and his words are there and his teaching is there. But again, the foundation is first in God and in Jesus. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And if you know the book of Proverbs, that is the wisdom of God that we are to follow. That is what we walk after, rather than our own hearts. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is the way of death. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. What should we do then? We can't look to our hearts and we can't look to our own ways and our own logic. I want you to listen to this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. If we acknowledge God and we look to him, he's going to set us in the right way. And this morning we have the confidence that we can see God in Jesus Christ, that we can have all encouragement and comfort because of him, that we can have peace in this world. And I hope this morning that you hear the words of Christ, and if you have doubts, look at his works. Know God by Christ. Let him fill up your life, and your heart will have no trouble. I want to finish with John 14, 27 and 28. John 14, 27 and 28. Jesus says this. Listen to his words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. You're not going to find any greater source of peace in this life than Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized into Christ this morning. We encourage you to do so for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. You need prayers. Encourage you. We can come forward. We'll pray with you. Or find a fellow Christian whom you can confess, have studies with, and pray together. It will be encouragement to you. Let's stand and sing together.